Welcome to Planning for Retirement with Scott Nelson. Plan well, retire happy.
Okay, today we want to discuss how do you choose a financial advisor, and maybe even prior to that, do you even need a financial advisor? I would argue that a lot of people aren't ready to have a financial advisor yet. There are some great financial entertainers out there, the likes of Dave Ramsey, Suze Orman, Clark Howard, and others, who have some great things to tell people who really don't have a lot of money to invest yet, who maybe are still struggling to get past their consumer debt issues. You could look at any of those resources, and if you were to follow their suggestions, if everyone did that, America would be a better place, right? But at a certain juncture, you might have an inheritance come your way. You might suddenly have a better job with a big raise, and you've got more money than you're really quite sure what to do with, and you want to have that work as well for you as possible. It pays to have a good advisor.
I was just going to include that at a certain age, people can start pulling their Social Security and their pensions if they have a pension. A lot of times they may not know when to pull it, when they should retire from their job. And so Is that something that you as an advisor would help them with?
Absolutely. That's half the fun of my job, is going through those puzzles. My favorite answer to all these questions, of course, is it depends, right? Circumstances vary. But in looking for an advisor, here's a few things to know. So the average consumer doesn't really get into the weeds on these designations. At the risk of getting a lot of people upset with me, I'm not really anxious to have regulators wade in and try to ferret it out that well. I would like to see the industry itself fix it. But you hear about financial planners, financial advisors, and what's the difference? Does that question ever come up for you?
Yes, I think a major one is, what are you selling?
Yeah.
I want to come in and I have goals, but I feel like most brokers or financial planners are trying to sell me something.
And you'd be right. I will tell anybody who'll listen that it's only 90% of our industry that make the other 10% of us look bad. So financial planner, other than the designation certified financial planner, isn't regulated. Neither is financial advisor. These are kind of self-appointed designations. Now, within the industry, we try to ferret this out and make it a little bit better. What you want to find when you're looking for a financial advisor is you want someone who is acting in the capacity of a fiduciary.
What the heck is a fiduciary?
It's a great word to know for your Scrabble game next time. What it simply means is a fiduciary has to do what's best for the client and be able to prove it. Now, one of the licenses I carry is a Series 65 securities license, which makes me a registered investment advisor representative and carries with it a fiduciary duty of care. We actually get audited by the SEC. They ask for our client list, and then they throw darts at it and say, we want to see notes for these clients.
In these companies that are regulating you, what is SEC?
The Securities and Exchange Commission. Good question. The investment advisory firm that I've chosen to represent is called Alpha Star Capital Management. They're out of the Charlotte, North Carolina area. I picked them because our values really are closely aligned. They're very much motivated to provide great financial products with really low fees. So that fiduciary standard of care is important.
Which would benefit us if we were coming in to visit you, so as the client. So it sounds like it'd be more beneficial for the client instead of the advisor.
Oh yeah, no, it's a burden to the advisor to be sure. But for the consumer, we're wanting the consumer to have a high degree of confidence and comfort. Five critical questions that you should ask anyone who's putting themselves forward as someone to give financial advice would be, have you adequately reviewed my personal financial situation to make sure that these recommendations are in my best interest? That's the quintessential fiduciary standard. The next question that you want to ask is, how will your plan affect my tax return, this year and each year hereafter.
So it wouldn't just affect after you file taxes and they want to know, how can I change this? I feel like that's a lot of money being taken.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hate writing out checks to the IRS as much as anybody. And so I give everyone else permission to hate it, too.
So if they have the tools and knowledge before tax season comes, they can rearrange and get those monies in certain areas.
Yeah.
That would be more beneficial for them.
Yeah, it's actually starting to be taught more widely that not only do you need asset diversification in your portfolio, you need tax classification diversification in your portfolio. Most CPAs that are out there, they judge their performance on how low can I make your check to the IRS this year without taking into account what might that do to me later on in life. For example, a lot of people don't realize that their Social Security could be taxable depending on how they've structured their retirement asset. Most Americans have most of their net worth in two places, their home equity and their 401k.
Yes.
Well, that 401k has to start being distributed. They call it required minimum distributions. It used to be that that began at age 70 and a half, and then the SECURE Act changed that to age 72. So it pushed it back a little bit. SECURE Act 2.0 actually made it worse, or more complicated at least. If you were born between 1950 and 1959, your required minimum distribution age is now 73. For those born 1960 and later, it's now 75 before you have to start taking those distributions. But the issue is those distributions that you got a deduction for contributing to, got an employer match, had it grow tax deferred, come out reported as ordinary income for tax purposes.
But that's where we have been told to put all of our savings for retirement.
Sure. Well, we've been told all our lives, you'll be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. I can't find that in writing anyplace, but we've been told that plenty.
Yes.
And we've been told you won't need as much money to live on in retirement.
I do recall my groceries have doubled
recently. And in retirement, let's face it, as you age, the warranties expire and the body starts to fall apart, medical bills go higher. Yeah, it's not uncommon at all for people to actually need more money in retirement. And of course, all of your deductions have gone away that you've always counted on. Mortgage interest, your retirement plan contribution, your kids. Even if your kids live with you after age 18, you can't deduct them anymore. So you will probably be paying more taxes in retirement regardless. And we won't even get into the government's situation with their fiscal irresponsibility. But the third thing you want to ask is, how will your plan affect my income and liquidity needs in the future? What if I need some money? All the dinner seminar invitations that I've seen come through our area have been to go listen to an annuity salesman. And I'm not saying annuities are bad. They're a great tool used properly. But they do tie up your money. There's early distribution penalties from those that you need to take into account. What if you suddenly have some type of an emergency? What's that going to do to your liquidity
situation? I know that annuities will be talked about in other episodes, but there are several different kinds. And I think a lot of people may think about maybe just one kind, which is a variable. And so there's a lot more risk to losing that money. And I know that other financial planners or brokers or insurance sales people who are selling these products, they push more for that because that's more money in their pocket.
Yeah, bigger commissions, to be sure. Yeah, which brings us to the next thing you should ask anybody that's offering financial advice is, how does your plan match up with my risk comfort level? And everyone has a different level of comfort with market risk in particular.
And I think when you're at that retirement age, your risk level is pretty safe. They don't want to lose money.
Well, nobody wants to lose money ever. That scars us. But some people are more willing to take that risk, hoping for the higher return than others. That's kind of an individual characteristic.
Which would come back to your, it depends.
But from a financial advisor standpoint, the rule of thumb is to subtract your age from the number 100. And the result is the number of, the percentage of your portfolio that you should have exposed to market risk in general. There are other considerations that come into play, but that's a rule of thumb. And then finally, you also want to know, how will your plan affect the transition of my estate to my heirs? When we do all these things, what does all that mean? So when you go talking to financial planners, the best would be someone with a fiduciary standard of care. I happen to like the investment advisor model. That's why we chose to go this direction, because it's fee-based. It's going to be based on the balance of your portfolio. All of your money gets into your account to begin with. If your account gets bigger, the advisor makes a little bit more. But if your account drops, the advisor gets a pay cut as well. So the interests of both parties are more closely aligned than in the traditional broker model. And I know a lot of people who are brokers. They're great people and quite knowledgeable. I just think the model is flawed because they have that front-end haircut.
So if somebody wanted to come and talk with you, what would you charge them to come talk to you?
We always offer a free consultation. We pride ourselves in being service-oriented, and our compensation model is different than I've seen anywhere in our region. As an investment advisor representative, by definition, we have a broader scope of products. We're able to talk to people about all investment insurance vehicles. We've got the training to do that in a knowledgeable, fiduciary manner. We'd start with a discovery session. And just like if you were to go to the doctor and you said, well, man, I got a pain in my side. If the doctor jumped right to, hey, let's schedule a surgery, you'd probably really pause there. In the same way, you should also pause if somebody immediately jumps to trying to sell you a product without having a good understanding of your overarching situation.
A red flag.
Big red flag. So we go through discovery to see, where are you? What do you have to work with? And not only that, what are your goals? When do you want to retire? What do you want retirement to look like? What's your experience previously? How much time do you want to spend on everything? What's your family situation, your debt situation, your health situation? And then after discovery, we then get to do the behind-the-scenes work of running things through our various financial modeling software programs. We haven't found one yet that will do everything, so we use three. And once we come up with that, we have then a solution to present. And so we'd have another meeting where we would invite the client back to present the solution and make sure that we haven't missed anything. It's not uncommon at all in that solution meeting for the client to tell us, oh, I forgot to tell you about X.
Is that easy to input if they have forgotten certain assets or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it would change then
the outcome.
The recommendation probably, because we didn't have all the critical facts. So if a person is going to make a sound financial decision, they have to first be in possession of all the critical facts that would affect that. Kind of like the National Lampoon Vacation movie.
Ross, want to look through Edna's purse?
She has 11 cents, Dad.
Terrific.
So imagine for a moment you're in Chevy Chase's family, and let's do this Wally World journey, right? And if you recall the movie, they go through all of this terrible stuff through the course of the movie, and finally arrive at Wally World, only to find out that the whole park has been shut down. It's not even open anymore.
Sorry, folks, park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.
Well, in your financial situation, when would you want to find out about Wally World? Before you leave home? Somewhere along the journey? Or when you finally get there after all the mishaps that took place along the way? Obviously, we'd want to know before we even left home, before we went through any of that. We want to help people do that financially as well. That's the way we run our practice.
So would this be a good first step for somebody's retirement? How many years do people normally plan for retirement?
I saw a study once that said most people spend more time planning their vacation than they do their retirement.
I'm planning a vacation.
There you go. Because I think people don't like to be frustrated and they don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
And so that's where we come in. That's where an advisor adds value. There's a company called Dalbar. They do quantitative analysis. And they've shown that financial advisors significantly improve financial outcomes because they do have the knowledge. It's not an emotional decision. Let's face it. If it's our money, it's emotional.
For sure.
But if you have somebody that's an independent third party, they're an expert, then they can advise you to make decisions differently than you likely would on your own. And you have a far superior result as a product of that engagement.
Have you found in meeting with clients that they feel a little more at ease after talking with you, knowing that they're not even paying for this first sit down discussion of their goals and what their retirement goals are? Do you feel that when they leave that they're more at ease, or maybe they're a little more stressed for knowing what they're going to have to be planning for?
Well, the experience that people have shared with us as they're exiting the office, and you've heard this.
I have heard this.
I feel so much better. And away they go. We've had others come and tell us that they've tried to talk to other advisors that pay all the money for the radio infomercials, only to find out that they didn't have enough assets for that advisor to pay him any attention. We've chosen not to go that route, and we set up our compensation structure to meet with anyone. Those that have fewer assets actually need more guidance because they can't afford a mistake along the way.
I have heard as well some clients walk out from meeting with you and just say, man, we're late to the game.
Yeah, no, as long as you're still breathing, you're not late to the game. Sometimes decisions have already been made that can't be undone. We would recommend that before making any big decisions like claiming Social Security, signing up for Medicare plan, claiming your pension, moving assets out of your 401k plan to somewhere else, that you get some solid fiduciary advice, if not from us, from someone else that you feel comfortable with, so that you make the right decision so that that isn't one of those regrets you have for the rest of your life.
Yes.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. We hope you found it helpful. If you'd like more information about Elise or myself, you can find us at our website at www.askscottnelson.com. You can also look us up on Facebook, LinkedIn, and other platforms that Elise knows more about than I do because I'm old. So this has been Scott Nelson with Elise Azaris, Retirement Guide.
So get your map.
Before you embark on your road to retirement, come and see us and get a good retirement roadmap.
On the road to retirement, come see us for your roadmap.
We know that if you plan well, you retire happy.
If you found this information useful, please share it. If there is something you hear that raises a question, you can sign up for our free consultation as well as sign up for our free newsletter. Visit askscottnelson.com to sign up. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you plan well, you can retire happy.
The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The views presented today are those of SLN Financial Incorporated and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy. Investment advisory and financial planning services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and SLN Financial Incorporated are independent entities.